It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy, County Senior Final Special. We are talking to two former Mayo players who know the two clubs in this year's final inside out. They'd want to because they played a lot of football for them. First of all, well, you know his voice, so we'll bring him in first. Billy Joe Baden, how are you?
I'm very good, Rob. Thanks for bringing me in first now. It makes me feel important, you know, particularly with such a luminary like Kevin O'Neill on the other
end. Oh, you spoiled it. I was going to give him a big build-up. All right, fair enough. Kevin O'Neill, how are you?
Not too bad, Rob. And good to speak with you and Billy Joe again. Really looking forward to the match on Sunday. So appreciate the opportunity.
You two Bucks were on the same team, Kevin, back in the day, trying to win All-Irelands and stuff.
Yeah, God, we had a great innings. It was a short enough one from my perspective because, I wasn't involved in 2004 and came back into the squad in 2006 and it was great to play with Billy Joe and some of the rest of the guys. Unfortunately, we didn't get over the line. It wasn't from the lack of trying. I think we had a phenomenal squad, but we just came up against a Kerry team that were probably outside of this current or the past Dublin team, probably one of the strongest teams to ever play the game. But Billy Joe and I could write a book about the late nights spent driving up and down to Dublin. And it was a great, great, great experience, Rob.
Yeah, and it came from a time when you were, you know, playing a lot of great club football too. So you're looking at this this county final now. I mean, wow, Kev, it's for the neutral, it's just a brilliant county final. Belmullet obviously are the colour. You know, Knockmore were kind of used to being around, even when you weren't good, as I was talking to Edward in the last 20 years, you were in every semi-final going. It's what Knockmore do. But there's always a freshness to Knockmore as well. They really did light up the championship last year with what Ray Dempsey was able to bring to the table with that group. And yeah, they're here again. And now they're the big guys at the table trying to ruin Belmullet's dreams. But it should be a really, really, really good battle.
Yeah, and look, I've been keeping a very close eye on how Belmullet have been progressing. And, I would say that, and I'm not playing games here like that. But
here goes Billy Joe, take the notepad out there.
They are on a bit of a roller coaster, Rob, in that, you know, they've knocked the likes of, Brafey and Westport out, and they've shown great pedigree, and they've also beaten Knockmore already this year as well. And I think for this current squad of Belmullet players, they've also won a lot of underage titles and they've been involved in a lot of underage finals. And I don't think they'll fear or be intimidated by Knockmore in any way. And I would say if it was this time last year and, Knockmore were coming fresh, probably back onto the scene with the squad, I'd be slightly more optimistic. I think this time round, I think Belmullet definitely have good momentum and some good scalps taken going into this one. That said, Knockmore a good pedigree, good history at this stage of the competition. So, it's all the making for an absolute cracker. And I think physically, both sides will not be found wanting. They won't hold back in any way at all. So from a neutral perspective, Rob, it has a lot. It is a lot to offer, and I think there's a lot of players on both sides, that could nail down a good marker for themselves going into next year, particularly with the the inter-county scene starting pretty soon again into 2022.
Yeah, that's another angle, and there's so many angles on this final, Billy Joe. One of the angle, like Edwin was saying to me before this, that Knockmore, one of the key elements of what's made them perennials last four team, they don't tend to lose the games they should win. And what's so interesting about that is they've lost one game this year. I know it was up in Belmullet, I know conditions and yada yada, and everyone's trying to make excuses for it, but they lost it. That just, it's like, Ireland, the All Blacks, the last day, like, it's a different narrative ever since they beat them, and once you get that win under the belt, that's got to be a huge, hugely important kind of club in the bag for Belmullet going into this weekend.
Oh, I think so. I don't think they go on and beat Brafey and Westport without having the confidence that they gained from beating Knockmore, albeit bad conditions. in Ballymullet, you know, they still got the key scores. They still were able to frustrate Knockmore for practically the whole of that game. And we know that Knockmore can be a very cohesive team when they get going, and they can get scores basically for anywhere across their forward line. So that has given Ballymullet a whole load of confidence. But I think it's not just this year. I think, as Kevin said, Ballymullet have done an awful lot of good work over the years in underage football. You're coming off the back of an intermediate title a couple of years, and you're building gradually. And I think that in itself gives you a bit of confidence. And I think then when you look at the Ballymullet squad, and you're kind of saying, well, many of these players, I might know their parents, you know, I'm that far removed from it, but he can use, you know, Damian Mulligan as manager can use six or seven different fellas off the bench if he needs to. And that's very, very important this time of year in senior championship, that you can have confidence to throw two or three different fellas into the game and get a contribution. And that's something that has worked very well for Ballymullet in those three games in particular against the fancy teams.
I want to circle back to chatting a bit about Damian Mulligan, Ray Dempsey, about where these teams came from. And I want to get your views on the final. But I also want to kind of, you know, just talk about the cultures behind the clubs. So let's start with that, Kevin. Like, and before we even get to maybe talking a bit about Knockmore, just go back in the day when you were playing underage football in North Mayo, or you were playing league games or whatever, and you had to go back to Ballymullet. Like, can you give us an idea what that's like? Because I think maybe fans or followers of clubs in the rest of the county, they have an idea what it's like to go back and play a game up in Ballymullet, but you would have done it more regularly. What makes them so good? Like, it's a very good sporting hub, Erris United. We know there's great boxers there and so on and so forth, but what makes them what they are, do you think, from an outside?
Look, I probably grew up, football was number one, and you only had to look around outside your own club, and you were quite close to the likes of Ballina and Cross Malina, and there was ferocious competition there. Mm. But I think I always remember Ballymullet coming to Knockmore and play club games, and they were absolutely ferocious. Stuff went on, Rob, at that stage, that if it happened now, somebody would end up in jail. There were some huge, huge encounters with Ballymullet over the years. And I remember going to Cross Malina and watching Willie Joe play in Ballymullet, beat Knockmore, and I think it was a county semi-final. I don't know what year that was, but John Gallagher, Tom Riley, were playing at that stage for Ballymullet, and huge crowds there, huge rivalry, but good respect there at the same time. And, you know, that carried itself through to underage games and making the long journey back there. I remember going back in Jackie McLaughlin's Ford Cortina, you know, listening to, I think it was Joe Dolan at the time, and probably around 16 in the car, Rob, at the time, totally illegal, but making the trip back to Aucklean, you know, having really, really tough encounters, both in Aucklean and in the town pitch as well. Now, we probably didn't arrive home till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and waiting for lifts home and all of that. But, you know, ferocious rivalry there between both clubs. We had a good, solid respect there at the same time.
Nigel Reap was saying that this week, Billy Joe. There's been, even in this current crop, there's been a lot of big battles at under 16 county final. He even mentioned an under 11 county final, which is that's some pedigree for a senior final. But yeah, it goes on.
I think so. And I think as well is that, look, we've mentioned Knockmore have always been at the top table as such, and battling it out for titles there at senior level, at underage level. And I think it's something that Ballymullet are aspiring to consistently put themselves in the position they are now and to bring that on. And the best way you can do that is to be consistent at underage. And they have, you know, been much better at underage maybe than we were in my time. And I think that in itself, as Kevin mentioned at the start, it means you don't fear them anymore when you come to play adult football. And that, I think that's been very, very important for Ballymullet. And it's about them, I suppose, starting out in developing this culture where they see themselves as a senior team year in, year out, that can be relied upon to put in a solid season. And then when you get a lot of things right, that you can put a big run together in the championship and challenge for the titles. And this is the first year, obviously, that they've done it in a long, long time. I think 81 was the last final we were in. And so it's about building on that. Obviously, great opportunity to once you find yourself in a final there for winning, but there's a, you know, in many ways, this is a young Ballymullet team And this will be a great experience for them, great opportunity for them to win, but also a great chance for them to continue to develop and continue to move forward and be more of a force, really, in Mayo senior football than maybe they have been since those times Kevin was talking about in the 80s, where Belmullen were much more reliable and could be, you know, in the latter stages of the senior championship.
Kevin, club football in general, trying to work out boundaries is difficult at the best of times, but like Knockmore, you know, like there's a theory that Knockmore are the type of team that are in the long grass is always out to get you. But I feel in a geography sense, you'd struggle to find them if you're trying to launch a war against them, because it's this tiny little pocket. As I'm driving to Ballinan, I'm usually over to the left towards Loch Conn. And it was only recently I found out that you live in Foxford and half the town is Knockmore. You can explain it all for people, but it does kind of balance this kind of like, how do you fit a club in there? And then all of a sudden, God, it's actually quite a big population when you get up to the edge of Ballina. Just talk to people about the essence of what Knockmore is as a parish and how you've established yourselves with this massive force as a club football team.
Yeah, and it's a great question, Rob, because I think for people that aren't that familiar with the geography of the area, so the parish really stretches from once you across the bridge in Foxford, you know, right the way down to the outskirts of Ballina and even across over towards Arda as well. So at any one time, you could be 10 to 15 miles away from a clubmate that is playing on the same team as you. So I think we've been fortunate over the last number of years. A lot of people have actually moved into the area as well. So the numbers playing underage football and that are absolutely phenomenal, and credit to the club for that. They put in a huge amount of work, you know, at underage level, and the core principles around getting the basic skills right, but also an understanding and knowledge of how the game should be played as well. And if you were to use the warfare term, Rob, Knockmore would be quite good at guerrilla warfare. You know, you never quite know where they are or what they're up to. And next thing, you know, they're there right in front of you and are able to take a scalp at any one time. And I always remember, even we mightn't have had, you know, the greatest of teams, but we'd always fancy our chances against the farm team at the time. And I think that's bred into you and part of the DNA and the culture to represent the parish, represent the jersey. And there's huge pride in that, Rob, as well. But a lot of humility there at the same time. I think a lot of it goes back to, you know, the underage structures that are in the club and the commitment that some of the older people, you know, have given the club over the years. And this is a cliche in every club around the country, but I can genuinely say it in Knockmore. We were very fortunate to have absolutely amazing volunteers, you know, from a coaching point of view. And not every club talks about it, but genuinely, it's the real deal. You know, like any club, we always have our challenges as well. But it's that commitment to the cause and that there is a meaning involved to wear the jersey and pride, you know, to put on that jersey and represent the parish. And, you know, I was delighted to see them retain or, you know, get the just rewards last year. If they manage to do the double, it'll be absolutely phenomenal, Rob. But I do think they're building quite something special that, you know, they can continue this for a couple of years to come.
It's some area, Billy Joe, isn't it? Like, I mean, you're the same vintage as me, so you remember those county finals. If the county final was in Knockmore, it's because Cross Ballina and Ballina were playing. Otherwise, it was in Ballina for Cross Ballina, Knockmore, and so on and so forth. But, like, I mean, it was just where the essence of Mayo football was for a long time.
Yeah, and I think it, in many ways, I think some of those games, the big games Kevin would have played at in the county finals in those times, you know, the 90s and 2000s, you're talking about probably, I think, a period where, you know, Mayo Club football would have been, you know, as strong as, if not stronger than any other club senior championship in the whole country, be it so many of those teams went on to contest All-Ireland club finals, went on to win them. But I suppose going back to my recollection of watching Knockmore in those games, it was just so gritty. They were so gritty that they just hang in their games and games, you know, 10, 15 minutes might be going against them. They might be on the rack a bit, but you'd look up at the scoreboard and it'd be level or there'd be a point down and they'd still be in it. And that's a great quality to have in a club side. And I think that's one of the reasons why they found themselves hanging in those close games and winning many of them. And a lot of their titles were like that. And I think Kevin's right. I think that is part of your DNA if you grow up, that, you know, you never give in and you keep fighting till the last minute. And that's something that you know that when you're playing Knockmore, that it's going to be an absolute battle all the way to the end. Even if you are much stronger than them at that, even at underage grade, or even if they're missing a few players in the league game or something like that, you know that they're going to keep going and going and going till the very end.
Yeah, it's an interesting, like Kevin, Johnny O'Connor was on the Craggy Rugby podcast that we do this weekend, and he was talking about in the strength and conditioning within Connacht Rugby and the standards that they're setting within the management. He was talking about the fact that, like, if you take a 22 game season, someone gives you 3 superstar performances, but the rest is average, then ultimately he's average. And I just immediately thought of Knockmore, because I feel like that's what they do. They hit a level of 75% as a group all the time, every time, no matter what. And by and large, then if they have to find that extra 5% on a county final day, they'll find it and win it. There's a real kind of bar that's just, it doesn't go below this for us in Knockmore, I would suggest. Now, this is all plumbosing you, but can you see that it's backed up by your record? Like,
no, and I, Rob, it's a good point, because, look, I think the other thing is that even though they might have a couple of really good players, standout players like Kevin McLaughlin, but I think there's a knowledge that they're not going to depend on Kevin just to do his job. And you'll have a cornerback who will step up, or a wing back or a wing forward will step up to the plate. And that's been there all the time, Rob, in that there's always somebody new or somebody else ready to step up to the plate. And I think it goes back to that pride in the jersey thing, in that they're not going to give up too easily. I never forget being on the receiving end and watching Knockmore, the grit, when Ballantubber were flying with Dermot O'Connor and Killian, and they were absolutely flying. But they gave Knockmore an awful pasting in Castlebar a number of years ago. But Knockmore still ended up scoring 3-10 or 3-15 right to the end. They just kept on going, kept going, kept going. And actually, that probably defeat planted the seed for this probably current crop. I won't say a phoenix from the ashes, but it was definitely a big motivating factor for us to get our act together. And, you know, you see that culminating now, Rob, and quite a good, you know, there's 30 to 40 in a squad there. And I've no doubt, and you saw the last day against Gary Moore, Raymond was able to bring on 3 or 4 other guys that could make a contribution, you know?
I still, like, we'll talk a little bit about the culture of Belmullet sport and the sense of togetherness, that kind of nationhood that you have, Billy Joe. But, like, I still get the feeling that, and I'm going to say this and get myself in trouble, but I'll say it anyways, that it's Ryan O'Donoghue who's crucial to everything here as well. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, you know, there are clubs that just need that star to put them to the next level, and he's done that this year.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. He's been, you know, you take the full calendar year from the springtime till now, or the last 10 or 11 months, he's been the standout player, you know, in Mayo. I think that there are things that have happened with Mayo, for instance. No one wants to see Killian O'Connor get injured, obviously, but I think that has actually been good for Ryan O'Donoghue, in that he has stood up there. I think kick and freeze has been a positive for him, and the way he's played, it's got him into games, playing with Mayo and definitely with Belmullet, and he's been, you know, rock solid, reliable in that job. But not only that, it has given him more responsibility, and playing for Mayo, he's taken that responsibility and was a leader for them, and, you know, he looks like he's going to get an all-star, you know, very positive contributions in the big games for Mayo. But for Belmullet, again, he's obviously, when you're a county player and you go back to your club, you have to take a leadership role, whether it's your personality or not. But he has that personality. He backs himself every time. He's willing to try to make things happen. He recovers from mistakes very, very quickly. And you need that in club games, because even when you go out and mark somebody like Lee Keegan, you're not going to win every ball. Lee's going to beat you some balls. And you have to be able to hang in there. And there was a period in the game, the last day against Westport, where Brian mightn't have touched the ball for 15, 16 minutes. But then 2 or 3 more possessions, Lee was unlucky, was lucky not to get a second yellow or another black card that would have sent him off following a great bit of play by Ryan. You know, he's a hand in Eamon McAndrew's point coming off the bench that was late on. He has a great dispossession for that score. So he's a factor in the big moments of these games. So he's absolutely vital to what Belmullet are going to do. And I think if you're Ray Dempsey and you're Knockmore, you're sitting there, you're planning for Ryan O'Donoghue. But Ryan knows that. Everyone in Belmullet knows that. Everyone in the county knows that. But that's no different to what Brafey or to what Westport were trying to do. It's just that he's in such a fine vein of form. It's how do you counteract him? Because he's dangerous in close to goal, and he's dangerous out the field. He can impact on the game out there, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. But in many ways, it is fair to say that his performance will have a huge bearing in terms of how Benmullet will fare on Sunday. And he knows that, and he can live with that. His shoulders are broad enough to take that, to be honest.
And Kevin, some of the best club players in the country don't necessarily transfer to the club team. There's some superstars in Dublin that I've watched playing club football, won't mention any names, and they haven't stood out. I've been at games where they haven't stood out. Like, Ryan is doing it, and that'll be really encouraging to Mayo football fans across the county to see him doing what he's doing.
Yeah, look, it shouldn't come as a surprise, really, Rob, because I've seen him at underage all the way through. And to Billy's point, he backs himself. I'd be much impressed with his, you know, the mental side of his game, and that he can miss a free, he can miss a shot, but he's bang up for the next one straight away. And for me, he's a real fighter. And like, I've been really, really impressed with him physically. For a small enough guy, he's got a decent enough leap on him. He can catch a ball over his head. He can spot a pass. There's so many things to be impressive about him. And then, you know, in that All-Ireland final, I mean, it's fine, you know, when there's not many people watching, but when the pressure is on and Croke Park is full, to nail those what look like relatively easy ones takes a very strong mindset to do it. And touch wood, Rob, you know, you'll have him in the mix with Tommy Conroy, Killian back, you know, Jason Doherty back. You know, we're coming to a stage, you know, where we're going to have, you know, five or six real quality forwards available to us. And the other thing that I'm sure, you know, counts for a lot when you see him playing, he's ferocious in the tackle. He must have been a boxer or something in the back, because when he goes into the, he's very, very aggressive. Very aggressive.
Yeah, no, he was a great soccer player, a great boxer. So he has the quick hands. He's brave. He's very brave. You know, he's fearless in many of those situations. He's low to the ground. I don't like to say he's fast, because he's got quickness. You know, I sometimes there's a difference in that. He's got lateral quickness. He can move to his left, his right. I think the boxing skills, when he finds himself in a tackle, he can take a step backwards nearly and get out of a tackle. But the one thing I was looking for him this season to, you know, in terms of his progression from what he showed last year, was last year he was more comfortable when he was out in the thick of it, winning, breaking ball in the half forward line, running towards the goal. I think you've seen a marked improvement in his ability to do work in the full forward line. You know, for Mayo, he did some good things in there where he was able to win the ball in the full forward line and create stuff. And even for Benmullet, has been even more impressive. Like the goal he got against Brafey, where he uses his body to shift to collect the ball in over his head and then to lob Robbie Hindley. I think the goal before that for young Ryan, you know, again, he wins the ball as he's on the ground, nearly collecting the ball on the ground, and shifts the hand pass. And again, that point, that play I spoke about earlier on, where he takes Lee Keegan on in front of the goals in the full forward line, that's him showing his ability to win the ball close to goal. And as Kevin knows, Kevin was as good as anyone at this, is that if you win the ball in there and you're good at it, you're going to get scores, because defenders panic and they'll give you opportunities. And if you've the skill to take the chances like he has, well then that's why he's walking away from games with 1-5 or 1-6, and a lot of those frees are ones he's won himself, where defenders have no option but to take him down.
You know Ray well, Kevin. What's he thinking?
Yeah, look, knowing Ray, he won't be sleeping too much. And football would certainly occupy, you know, a good 22 hours of the 24 in any one day. He'll be genuinely concerned. And which he would be, you know, he'd be quite thoughtful about how the game should be played, and, you know, would think quite a bit about the opposition. But I think, you know, he'll also be obviously focusing on his own team and his own squad. But he's got a couple of things to figure out. And Ryan O'Donoghue is one, you know, Owen O'Donoghue coming out from centre back, you know, he's got a lot of things to, you know, and you know yourself, the way the game has gone now, it's nearly played in four different quarters with the water breaks and that as well, in that you're not going to dominate all, you know, the different parts of the game. And he's got to make sure, obviously, that he nails it when they're on top. And I think goals will be the difference here the next day. And you saw against Gary Moore the last day, Knockmore won't be shy at letting those balls into the box that might look like a 50-50, Rob, but they're prepared to fight and scrap for them and go for the juggler when they can. But knowing Raymond, he'll definitely have a few sleepless nights, Rob, between now and then.
You're listening to the Mayo News Football Podcast in association with Ceramic City Tiles and Bathrooms, Castlebar, Charlestown and Sligo. Visit their website at ceramiccity.ie.
We got into deep analysis here. I feel like we're in the corner of a pub now and I can't help but just get back to the final. Who's going to win? But like, I'll stick on it for a second because Billy Joe, like, twice, and I was listening to the game first before I saw the highlights of it. So I listened to the two games in full that Belmuller played in the quarterfinals, semi-final. Nigel Reap in the commentary when Brafey were having a bit of a surge in the second half said, I think Belmuller might be running out of gas, and they found something from somewhere. They dug deeper. Westport, Shane Nallan said in the post-game interview that when Westport went one point up, he thought maybe this might be it. Him on the pitch thought that, and they found something. But I just wonder if Westport and Brafey in those moments missed an opportunity to go for the jugular, as Kevin is saying, and if Knockmore might be a hell of a lot better at taking those moments. And that might be the difference. Or could it be the difference? I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, Belmullock could only play the teams that are put in front of them. But I have to say, I think Knockmore are a better outfit. I think they have a clearer idea about what they want to do in all stages of the game, from what I've seen, maybe than Brafey and Westport. I think they move the ball very, very well. They're tactically probably better than any other team in the county. And look, they're county champions, and they're not reliant, as Kevin said, they're not reliant on any one player. They're not reliant on Kevin McLaughlin. You know, they have a good system. They have good players all over the field. So I think that, you know, if Knockmore find themselves in a situation ahead or approaching the latter stages of the game, well, I think it's going to be extremely difficult for Belmullet because I think they'll handle that element of the game better maybe than Brafey or Westport did in the past. But I don't know, is it as simplistic as say to that, because I think that Belmullet finished both games very strongly. Now, whether it was something just mentally that they found that extra bit of rhythm, whether it was the fact that they can bring on four or five subs and they're not really dropping in talent, they've about 20, you know, the players that they can bring on that are nearly as good as players that are out there and come in. And it's to Damian Mulligan's credit that they come in and there's no drop-off in intensity. They're as physical as the lads that are on there. There's no drop-off there in terms of understanding of what there needs to be done in terms of the way they're playing. And Belmullet, for me, one of the most things that, you know, there's a couple of things that have been really impressive. It's their ability to hold on to possession. They might necessarily be hurting the opposition at all times, but they frustrated Brafey and Westport for long periods of the game by their ability to hold on to the ball. And they've been hard to score against. Now, they'd need to be that way again against Knockmore. They're, you know, the Barretts in the full back line, you know, Owen O'Donoghue flying, playing with James Kelly, really physical around the middle of the field. They've been really solid defensively and they'll need that again. But I really feel confident that they've a good 65, 66 minute effort in them. And that's not going to be a problem for them, considering what they can take off the bench as well. And considering the athleticism, like players like Owen O'Donoghue and James Kelly, really, really good athletes in that area of the field.
I was just going to say that Damian Mulligan and Pather and that involved there is a big plus for Belmullet in that they've been to probably around 10 county finals. They know the process, you know, the week before, the day leading up to the match, the morning, they know the required prep to win. And they know what it takes to beat Knockmore, because they've been on the other side with Cross Malina over the years. They'll know, they'll have their homework done. I think it's a big plus, Billy Joe and Rob, for Belmore.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And I think even, you know, Pather coming in this year is obviously, you know, he's like, we know, me and Kevin, we know Pather very well. And he's, you know, very thoughtful when it comes to thinking about how the way the game that should be played. But I think to Damien's advantage is that he's been with Belmullet, I don't know, was it 3 or 4 seasons now? Many of these players are only turning 22, 20, you know, 23, even younger than that, 20 and 21. He's kind of helped bring them out of underage football to this level. He's set the standards for them to get to. So he knows those players. He knows his own players better than anyone in Belmullet nearly. And that's an advantage as well. He knows who he can rely on in different situations.
Do you think it helps that it's an outside management team with all the enthusiasm that Belmullet are going to bring to this final?
Look, I think that if you're trying to get up to compete in a senior level, as you know, you bring in somebody that has been in 10 county finals, won an All-Ireland club, you know, players are going to listen to what he has to say, and he has experience as well before he came to Belmullet managing club sides in Mayo. So he's an experienced manager before he walked in the door in Belmullet. So like they all listen to him. They all aspire to reach the levels that he reached as a player, and he can help them get there. And when you have a little bit of success, it gives you encouragement. They went and won an intermediate championship in 18, quite, you know, impressive fashion. Then they dealt with losing a player like Chris Barrett, who, you know, goes on and does is living in Dublin, and it's too difficult for him to travel down to Belmullet. And they were able to continue moving forward and getting better. And that's his credit, to be able to get other young players step into that void and continue to drive it on.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're an interesting combo, Damien and Patter, and the whole management team. Kev, you played against Damien. What was he like as a player?
He used to mind me quite a bit and quite closely. I always thought of him, very fair, hard, honest, but very thoughtful about how the game should be played. And for me, I might be a bit old-fashioned, but I like my centre-backs to play centre-back. Hold your man scoreless and block up the middle. And the way that position has gone now, it's like open season to go forward. And, we see now in the modern game, the gaps that are there between full back lines and half back lines. I'd take a Damien Mulligan, Ger Brennan any day of the week. I think Damien was very unlucky not to play intra-county level at the time. We obviously had James Nallan there, a phenomenal player. Well, I'm telling you, if Damien was in any other county, he would have probably played a lot of inter-county games. And I know the way he thinks about the game, he wouldn't, he certainly wouldn't be one for fussing about, and ensuring. You can see that in Belmullet as well. There's a real aggressive nature to the way they're playing the game.
Yeah, I remember Damien Mulligan throwing me over a sideline and crossed my line one day. So yeah, he definitely played it hard anyway. Yeah, no, but he was very fair. But I agree with Kevin. Like, he was a traditional in his positioning. But like, I remember marking him as a young player very often in challenge games. We would have played Cross Molina quite a bit, maybe even with North Mayo or with Mayo when Cross Molina were going well or preparing for an All Ireland club. And his positioning and his communication, like, he obviously, as a player, he was directing traffic, directing players where they were going to be on the field while he was a player. So it was kind of easy for me to see that he would move into management even from that experience.
Kev, is it something about Cross Molina, like, in terms of the way they think about the game? You've obviously got Stephen Rochford, the great Kieran MacDonald is part of the Mayo setup now, Patter Gardner. Like, does that speak to their culture as well, that they've produced a lot of really good managers?
Yeah, and I mean, look, we were arch nemesis for them over the years at underage level and right the way through. But, they had a lot of and they played a smart game of football as well. Very much to their own strengths. And you could tell at that time, to Billy Joe's point, they were very vocal on the pitch and, they were very demanding of each other. So it's no surprise to me. And there's plenty of that squad involved in different teams all around the place at the moment. I think it's a good thing to see as well that we're starting to breed, newer, younger, coaches, managers and that, internally within our own county without having to go outside and bring in. Nothing wrong against bringing people, from the outside in, but this is a real plus for Mayo, and the likes of having Pather there was involved in a Mayo under 20 squad this year, now getting to a county final with Belmullet. It's a win-win for us all, I think, Rob.
Kevin, you've kind of touched on something there. Like, I mean, two possible future Mayo managers here, and the talk will be about that, whichever side wins.
Yeah, well, look, at out of respect, there's a very strong setup there today that, have a course to go through over the next, 12 to 24 months. But I think once the current crop go through that process, I think there'll be four or five really strong internal candidates, to put their hand up. And it's not about any one individual anymore. If you look at modern, sporting or business franchise, this co-head role, co-manager role, having the width and breadth of a team from experience, to younger development type people on the management setup. There's these hybrid models of the future, as I call them, that will become more relevant, I think, in Mayo as well. That we're starting to see that, obviously, in Tyrone as well, co-managers. Maybe there's a different way to slice and dice it for Mayo, but that's for another day, I think, further down the road, Rob.
sure is, but we'll be talking about it, Billy Joe. We can't help but think, how would these guys go at inter-county level? And I'm sure they're not thinking about that one iota right now, but at the same time, it's kind of ambition and it's part of the progress really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's important. Look, any future Mayo manager, I think you're always at an advantage if you know the talent that's in any particular county in advance of taking a job, because it's so all-encompassing in terms of all the things you have to prepare for. And as Kevin points out there, you've no doubt you look at the Tyrone model and you see McMahon, Joe McMahon as well involved, younger players like that involved, behind the scenes, or younger ex-players, not long retired, kind of have that connection to the players carrying out duties in a management squad. And that's all positive stuff. And I think as well that any manager, needs to be able to show that they can work with a different range of people. And look, obviously that's the case with Mulligan, who I'd know better, obviously, that he feels he can bring in somebody like Padraig Gardner, and in any way his own message is not diluted anyway, and just enhances the whole setup.
As we build towards a conclusion here, I want to just delve a bit deeper into that Bell Mullet excitement, Billy Joe, because it must be something else. I mean, there's like, we talk about it with Ackle, you talk about it with the Irish Peninsula, there's an identity to these areas that obviously is a kind of, sometimes you could nearly say a kind of a mini county within a county, because there is that sense now of such pride that with all the challenges they've had in economic challenges, all the other things over the last number of decades, to see their club sitting there as like a national television this weekend, it's brilliant for the whole region, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's absolutely phenomenal. And as I said, I think I said it in the paper, during the week, like, it was something that I felt was nearly unattainable for Belmullet to be able to produce a football team this cohesive that are good enough to get to a senior inter-county final. When you consider how peripheral Belmullet is, how many of the players, and indeed, just people that may be involved in the club at an administration level or a coaching underage level, would have to work away in Dublin or Galway, and the travel distances that are that it's prohibitive basically to the high level setups you need. But I think that, again, that's to the credit of the club so far, and the management and the players, that they've been able to reach these high levels. I think that, when you talk about the culture and change, and Kevin talked about playing and back in Cushlawn or in Drum or in the town park, I think that developing the facilities in Talla, you have a fine clubhouse there, you have two really, really good pitches. I think that was the start of something. I think that, 2010, so we're 10 or 11 years, or 11 or 12 years, I'm terrible with dates, as Rob, away from that. And I think that the success that the club have had since has been built on having your own home, having a fixed place that you're very proud of, that that you get somebody like Knockmore in there, that they're going to get nothing easy in here. And I think that has helped to develop more of a club spirit, an enhanced club culture. Like Kevin will tell you, from playing for Mayo, I think, and I'm totally biased in this, the best supporters in Mayo nearly come from Belmullet, because the distance they have to travel, you'd go to a league game in Fermanagh or Down, and I'd see people from Belmullet there, and I'd think, geez, they're mad, driving all the way from Belmullet for a league game in February. And so they always had that love of football, and I think that's translating now very well to being involved in the club and driving the club forward. So I think that it only means that there's only be good days ahead for the club. And I look, as a Belmullet person that's away from home, it just makes me so proud to see it. And particularly then you see somebody like Eamon Dixon, a fella I played with, who's my neighbour. He's involved in the management setup, loves, a man more passionate about football I don't think you'll ever meet. And he's been involved for the last number of years. And I'm just delighted for him, to be brutally honest, to be involved in these big days and getting some reward for the great work that him and many like him have done over the last number of years.
Michael Gallagher has an absolute brilliant piece in this week's Mayo News, just going back there, just chatting to some of the big names of the town who love their football. I know from my own business, I know the Cuffs up there, and they're very, very proud Mayo supporters and Belmullet supporters, but like right through the town, all those names popping up in Michael's piece. But it is brilliant. And like Kevin, like what are we at? Like, people mightn't realize this outside the county, maybe inside the county, 67 of our county titles have gone to either Castlebar or Ballina. We talk about Knockmore and the force you are, you're number 3 with 9. Like, county finals without the big teams are to be savoured. As much as we want Ballintubber, Brafey, Westport, all these clubs thriving, it's so refreshing, and it gives loads of other clubs around the county real hope.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, it's something that we should tap into more. I know we talked before air about some of the divisional teams, you know, that played against Billy Joe, North Mayo, South Mayo had teams that gave other players opportunities from some of the smaller clubs to play at that level. And I think Tipperary brought it in this year for the hurling in their own club championship. I think Kerry, it's still ongoing down there. But I think this is a really good thing, Rob, for us to tap into to develop a core nucleus of the next generation of players within Mayo, that we try to bridge the gap of those players between 18 to 22, 23, that they stay with us. And having that sort of a league or a championship set up on a divisional level to tap into those players from some of the other clubs is only a good thing. And look at the DNA of Belmullet is something to be really proud of and to tap into as well. It stands for a lot of the things that are good within Mayo, backs to the ocean, you know, in a peripheral location, you know, somewhat out there, you know, challenging, you know, for their seat at the table. That's a good place to be for Mayo Inc. as well, along with Belmullet. And if you're playing anyone else, Billy Joe, I'd wish you the best of luck. But in all fairness, I couldn't. I found it hard to sleep after watching the Gary Moore match the last day on the edge of my seat. But they still mean so much to me to see them, and hopefully they can do it on Sunday.
You are listening to the Mayo News Football Podcast, in association with Ceramic City Tiles and Bathrooms, Castlebar, Charlestown and Sligo. Visit their website at ceramiccity.ie.
Yeah, well, yeah, look, I wouldn't expect any different for Kevin in terms of the way you competed for Knockmore. But I think you make a good point. I suppose for something for me that was very important to my own development is that the only time, Kevin, I think I played against you in championship was for North Mayo against Knockmore in a county semi-final. And he beat us that day. And I but just from my own development, I was playing for Belmullet. We were junior at the time. That was a very important summer for me because it gives you confidence. So you can go out and play. I think we beat a couple of teams on their own. I think we remember beating Swinford and maybe Mark and David Heaney. Like a big thing for me, you know, great player like David Heaney in a senior championship quarterfinal. And we managed to get the win in Bangor in horrific conditions. And then we gave Knockmore a good game. We're in it maybe for 40 minutes and Knockmore pulled away. And I think that was very important for junior players or players that are trying to, you know, improve themselves and measure yourself against senior club players. I suppose the one thing I do remember about that year is playing junior championship for Belmullet, senior championship for North Mayo and senior championship for NUI Galway and Galway. So it was a very busy summer and I enjoyed it. Wish every summer was like that.
They talk about players being overworked. That was the full whammy for Billy Joe. Yeah, like, I mean, God, it's like, it's going to be some crowd. County finals in James Stephen Park as well. Like, that's, again, I mean, maybe we're speaking like people in their 40s here, but that's what we grew up on, and it's going to be a cracking atmosphere.
Yeah, and I think it's a unique ground, and you know, it's so close to the pitch, and the people will be the supporters will be quite noisy, I'm sure, on both sides. I think, look at it, pretty late in the year, but a 1:30 throw-in, you know, is the makings of a cracking occasion. I'm sure there'll be a huge amount of banter down there. Billy Joe, if they're coming down, you might get an odd shoulder on your way into the ground as well from some of the Knockmore lads. So pads on.
I'll get in early, Kevin. I'll be in there first.
Damian Mulligan's on his side now, so it won't be him that's getting thrown back. That's the thing. Like, he's got his back, although he has other things to worry about at that point in time. Yeah, I mean, like, are you nervous about it, Billy Joe? You know the cliche, right? And I'll get the other perspective from you, Kevin. But you know that cliche of, like, you kind of said it earlier yourself, which is this is a huge experience for them to reach a county final. But how many times do people say you got to just go and win the one that's there, otherwise it's gone? You know?
Yeah, I'm not worried. In many cases people would be where you're significant underdogs and you don't have the experience of playing in it's your first time there. But the one thing that I've a fair bit of confidence from looking at this Belmullet team, from knowing some of the younger players and indeed some of the older players that I would have played with that are still there, the likes of Shane Nallan, is that, and I mean this in the best possible sense, they will not be overawed by any occasion. They'll show Knockmore respect, but not too much respect. you know, where they will get stuck into them. They won't just sit back and let them play this beautiful football. They'll want to impose themselves on the game and be physical. So I have confidence that they will be in a fight and be able to stay in that fight for for a long period of the game. And it's not something I think where you're going to go in and see a non-performance or a team being overawed by the occasion in any way. I have confidence that Belmullet are going to perform. The big question then will be, you know, whether it's good enough to beat a seasoned team like Knockmore, but you know, time will tell.
I always remember Armagh Tyrone, you know, that Armagh got the title and then Tyrone came along and you nearly said to yourself, maybe the Armagh lads just couldn't find that one to second year in a row. I don't really think that's in Knockmore's psyche, but is there any danger of that? Is there any danger of the old cliche that if it comes down to that last second, Knockmore have kind of done it already? God, they won't lose an ounce of wanting this, will they, Kevin?
No, I don't think it won't be for the lack of will or the lack of trying. And I think they'll empty their guts, as they say, on the pitch the next day. I think the pressure is on Knockmore more so than Belmullet. Although that said, with Belmullet, you know, have knocking out those scalps, it'll be up to them to come and show their wares. County finals are that little bit different, whether we like it or not. Some players react a little bit differently than others on the day, and they're hard won. Like, we lost a number of county finals as well. And, you know, I won't say you might feel that, you know, you're ready to go and that everything is going to go smoothly. And then it turns up on the day, bang, somebody gets injured, somebody gets sent off. County finals are that little bit different. And we've seen already this year, in some of the other, you know, county finals, that some of the other teams just haven't shown up. Corrifin last weekend didn't show up. Crossmaglen and Armagh knocked off their pedestal. You know, a lot of favourites in county finals last weekend ended up getting a scalp taken. So if Knockmore any way off the next day, this is Belmullet's to take.
I think I was just going to mention there what Kevin was saying, really, and that I think it's not really like Knockmore to be complacent ever. I can't remember them ever really being complacent going into any big games like that when they're red hot favourites. And I think it'll be a help to Ray Dempsey this last week to actually be able to point to what happened to Crossmaglen, point what happened to Corrifin, that, you know, just because you're favourites doesn't really mean anything going into a county final. And like I was watching the Crossmaglen game yesterday, the better team throughout, and they get caught in the end on a couple of goals where they weren't concentrating for the full game and maybe not as clinical as they would normally be. So I think that'll be an easy message for Ray to get across to his team. But at the end of the day, it's about the players taking the responsibility to take that message on board as well. But as I said, it's not something you really associate with Knockmore.
Kevin, can I finish on this? Like, when you sit in the dressing room on county final day and you look around and all those lads are just a few miles away from you and you've grown up with them, what's the difference between that and the dressing room on All-Ireland final day in Croke Park?
Yeah, oh God, tough question, Rob.
Saved it right for the end.
without insulting anybody, I think because you grew up with them since, you know, you were kids, I think the thing just probably means just a little bit more. You know, at club level, and one of my greatest regrets was not winning an All-Ireland club title, you know, losing to Crossmaglen, when I know in my heart and soul that if we played the game 10 days later, we could well have beaten them, and we had a very strong team at the time. But I think it would have been the culmination of a lifetime of work with the club, from right the way when we were 4 or 5 years of age, right the way through. It eats that little bit more into your gut. It probably shouldn't in Mayo, with all the pain that we've gone through. And that's what might bring us full circle, Rob, for another conversation about, you know, bringing us back to brass tacks at inter-county level, that it does hurt inside your gut, and that there is that, you know, level of tightness, and that DNA is fully synced up. Because I still think we're probably missing a small trick in that regard at inter-county level.
Who knows, maybe that trick is the man who's been the story of the year, Ryan O'Donoghue, and maybe it will be Belmullet's day, Billy Joe. But you got to call it, lads. We got this I got this thing where I keep getting given out to because it's not something I ever focus on. It's like, who do you think will win? But everyone really does want to know. And they may think it's straightforward, but I don't know. So, I mean, if you want to stick with your safe camps, do it. But anyways, Billy Joe, in a word, who's going to win?
It's Belmullet. I understand they're underdogs, but I can't think any other way than they're going to win. I suppose my heart is ruling my head strongly in that one. When you consider, I didn't expect them to beat Brafey, to be honest. I was watching that game, and you know, every minute goes by, you're gaining more confidence. The same against Westport. Every minute goes by, you're thinking, these boys are playing better and better, and they're frustrating the opposition. So I expect Belmullet again to put in a real gritty performance, and I think I think they will win, and I'm looking forward to being there to see it happen.
This is good. It's going to keep a happy podcast listenership base on both sides of the North Mayo divide, unless Kevin O'Neill does something quite spectacular here.
I cannot, Rob, go for anything else but an Athmore victory by the narrowest of margins. If I see Billy Joe warming up on the sideline the next day, Desi Dolan did it last weekend, and I hope you're not going to tag out Billy Joe, but if you are, we'll send a sniper down for you. But
you won't have to. My hamstring will go with the thought of it. Never mind.
Well, look, I'm hoping, you know, but I it's going to be really tight. Genuinely, Rob, if we come out of it with a 1-point win, I'll be very happy with that. They're going to know they're in a battle here pretty quick.
You guys are going to envy us, because I'll be just standing there enjoying whatever happens. It's like sitting there myself, John Gunnigan, we'll have the headphones on, chatting away. Our lives will be easy. Enjoy, guys. I look forward to, and thanks so much for giving us a little bit of a sense of what it means to both clubs. It's been brilliant having you on. Billy Joe, I'll talk to you soon. Kevin, a big thank you. We'll get you back soon. One last thing, don't forget, this is one of three podcasts this week. We'll have a senior final preview show all of its own, and a junior final preview show. Some of the voices you're going to hear this week, well, the usual: Edwin McGrail, Ger Flanagan, Stephen Drake, Nigel Reap as a guest analyst as well. Mike Finnerty will be taking you through those two shows. Hope you've enjoyed this one, and make sure you pick up a copy of the paper. Crush down.